First, giving honor to God, the beneficent and merciful one, the one God to whom praise is due forever. Brothers and sisters, I was glad when they said unto me, just go into the house of the Lord. It's always good to be back here. Pastor Humphreys is always so courteous in allowing us to do these things, because a lot of stuff working against all of us, isn't there? And so he's opening up his facility. A lot of people are, this is language that I've just learned, but they're player hating and set tripping. Brother, because, you know, they were silent.
Right.
Hello. And in their silence, in that moment of silence, their lack of leadership created a vacuum. And in that vacuum was filled with the voices of the people who have been speaking up in these town hall meetings and demanding justice. So that's where we are. And we are not here to fight anybody. We're here to really discover a country that none of us have known yet. And that's really what the problem is here, is because everything, brothers and sisters, that we're fighting for now, let's face it, we ain't never seen it. Hello. I mean, we never really seen peace, have we? But we'd like to. We never really seen freedom, but I want to see it. Never really seen justice. But just because I've never really seen those things don't mean that I can't work toward making them real and can't work toward making it better in a way. So I just want to share some scripture here. I was moved by the report from the people who were at the birthday celebration. Listen to how this applies to everything that we've heard and what we're needing to do right now. This is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. I'm just reading one verse, and that's the first verse. And it says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comfort." So we're here really to answer that lament. From time immemorial, from the time that was written until now, oppression's been happening under the sun. People been crying about it. And the people who have been oppressed have not had power on their side and not had comfort on their side. But this is a new day, isn't it? This is 2009. And our struggle is going to bring both power and comfort to this situation. So just let me trot through a few things before I sit down here. The meeting that we had at Allen Temple was very well done. And very well attended, and the room was packed, and probably if we had put out more chairs, more people would have showed up. It was, you know, one of those kind of situations that all the available space was taken. Give credit to the BAM group for organizing that and putting it together. I know that there's a lot of different things going on between all the groups. Let me just say this, is that you know, the eye can't be jealous of the ear, and the ear can't be jealous of the hand, and the hand can't be jealous of the foot, and the foot can't be jealous of the knee, and the knee can't be jealous of the nervous system. Because at some point when pain hits the body, all of those got to kind of be talking to each other, right? So we got to recognize what is our role in the body of this movement. And not be fighting against each other, because that's what cancer is, right? It's when the cell organism starts multiplying and turning on its host. That's cancer. And so some of us is walking around with that in our body. So if you got it in your body, don't bring it to the movement. You know, it's bad enough that you got it in your body. That being said, I think that that it was good to be able to see a videotape. And this is what they did. They showed the videotape and went through the case line by line. Or should I say lion by lion? There's a lot of cowardly lion in this thing, y'all. We know who the cowardly lion was, but there's cowardly lion in the district attorney's case. And this is what is revealed. Because 92% of his account is based on the account of Officer Peroni. And what he leaves out, Officer Peroni leaves out, he leaves out the fact that he and the woman who were the first ones on the case, they were the ones that started and escalated things in the first place. They were the ones that did the punching, even before Meserly. You know, I'm blocking on his name because it's an evil name now, but you know who I'm thinking about there. That shows we're on the same vibe. So Meserly is saying, no, listen to what Meserly says in the conclusion. Yeah, you don't even have to read the rest of it, but just listen to this last sentence, and it tells you so much. Indeed, witness statements, officer statements, and a wealth of other evidence leads to a very compelling conclusion that Mr. Meserly did not act with any criminal intent whatsoever during his attempt to arrest and subdue Mr. Grant. Listen, here's the punchline, at the direction of a fellow officer. I don't think y'all heard what I said. Let me read that once more with feeling. Indeed, witness statements, officer statements, and a wealth of other evidence leads to a very compelling conclusion that Mr. Meserly did not act with any criminal intent whatsoever during his attempt to arrest and subdue Mr. Grant, here you go, at the direction of a fellow officer. Okay, so without going into all of the minutiae of what's going on here, these two guys are throwing each other under the bus. Peroni, in his account, leaves out the fact that he did the punching to instigate the thing. Meserly, in his account, is saying, I'm just following the orders of the guy who was the first on the scene. This is what's going on right here. So I think that it would be helpful, those of us who have never seen that video, and they show what happened when Oscar Grant was murdered, that actually, it was beautiful that Minister Farrakhan used that scripture of greater love hath no man that he laid down his life for his friends. Because this is exactly what happened to Oscar Grant. He was sacrificed in a crucifix type of fashion. His hands were up like that when he was defending his friend who had been punched before him. And what the video shows is that his friends are getting hit. His friends are getting punched. He's down on his knees. I'm not going to get out on my knees because I got a bad wheel here, but he's down on his knees. His friend gets hit a couple of times, and he says, whoa. You know, it was like trying to calm the cops down. And then they finish hitting the other brother and then dropped him a few times, you know, with some punches. So then this is what you see on the video, and what you see in the video does not jive either with what the district attorney is saying in his description of what happened, or in terms of what the defending attorney is saying in terms of what is happening. So then, we have some suspicions here about what's going on. Now, so I say that would be a good thing. Wouldn't you all be interested in seeing that?
Yes.
I think it would be a very instructional thing. And in the interest of these being public educational forums, I think that we would really be educated by seeing what happened, and then particularly stacking that up against the lies that they have told subsequent to the murder. Now, how many of us in here care about human rights? Okay, and those of us who care about human rights, how many of us care about the human rights of the people that we love? That should be a no-brainer type of question, right? All right, so I'm not including strangers' human rights. I'm talking about that. Okay, now, how many of you know what your human rights are? Don't lie now. We in church. Come on. I'm talking about according to what the real human rights laws are, because I'm about to drop some science on you about it. So if you don't know the numbers and which one, don't put your hand up. We expose you as lying in church. So not many of us, right? That's okay. It's important to know this. See, what that tells us is that we're all concerned about human rights, but if our rights, human rights, got violated, would we know that that's what was happening? And if somebody else's human rights got violated, would we know that that was happening? So then it's important for us to know that, not putting anybody on the spot about what you don't know. We should know if we're concerned. So here are the human rights that were violated in the Oscar Grant case, and the civil rights that were violated. Like I say, this is a public educational time now, and you can hoop and holler on some other stuff. Okay, now, first of all, his civil rights were violated, weren't they? But a lot of us don't know exactly which of those civil rights were violated. And we can start with a whole lot of them, but this is take two of them. The Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. Both of these amendments are amendments that have due process within. So then, Oscar Grant's rights of due process were violated by being murdered in the way that he was. Your Fifth and 14th Amendment deal with the concept of the deprivation of life, liberty, or property, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All of those things. So then, when we look at what he lost all of those things. Now, Oscar Grant's right to be heard was taken away, right? His right to present his side. His right to an attorney. All of these rights were wiped away by the book. And those are civil rights that he was entitled to. Now, Officer Messerly, he is a U.S. citizen, and he's also covered by the same rights that cover the gentleman that he murdered. But unlike the man that he murdered, he's got some extra rights called the police officer's Bill of Rights. And this is something that some of you who like to write op-eds about and write letters to the editor and stuff, you can start doing this, because this police officer's Bill of Rights is how Officer Messerly was able to shoot somebody, have it on videotape, and be arrested in another state taking a vacation. It's under that. So that's something, if Arsenio still had a show, he'd say, we got to do that. Start raising the question about that. So then, civil rights were violated, but then there were human rights that were violated. Just very quickly, all the human rights that we have are derived from one document, and that's called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And there's three treaties that come from out of that. The United States has violated. I know it's kind of boring, but this is important here, because what happened to Oscar Grant is actually an international issue. We don't see it because we just hear, say, oh, it just happened at the BART station. No, what happened to him has international implications. It's a perfect form of injustice, a perfect storm of discrimination and human rights abuses. That's what this case is, unfortunately. That's what it is. And that's why we must seize the moment with it. So then, in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 3, and these are all, for instance, the odd numbers here that were violated. Article 3 has to deal with the right to life, liberty, and security of person. Did he lose that? Article 5, no one shall be subjected to torture or cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. Was he degraded? Was he tortured? Was that cruel, degrading, and inhuman treatment? Okay, so then you see where we're going with this. He did not get his right to equal protection. See, they're supposed to be there to protect passengers, not to be shooting them in the head and in the back and kneeing them and the other stuff that they were doing. Another one, Article 9. No one shall be subject to an arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Did that happen to him? Another thing, and a right to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal. His due process rights were stripped away. So then, as we talk about this, we should be concerned about the violations of human rights. But let's not talk about them in the abstract, y'all. Let's do some homework. Many of y'all got computers and more, I'm going to say, more better computer skills than I have. Probably can speak English better than me, too. But you can check this out and then begin to talk about it in terms of not just what happened to Oscar Grant locally, but talk about it what in its human context. It was said before about what unifies us. There's only one thing that unifies all of us, according to any of the things that we think are dividing us right now, and that's our humanity. And the undiscovered thing that we got to find out is that there's always been diversity in the United States, never been equity here. There's always been a whole bunch of people here, but they never have been united around the issue of justice for the oppressed. That's something that we got to discover how to do, and that's why it's so hard for us. But we're going to work it out, ain't we? Yes. All right. God bless you.